I've heard just prayers given today with honesty and transparency, and I think there's just a lot of things on our heart today that we don't know if it's okay to share with you. And Lord, I pray that today is a day where we are set free to have a real conversation with you, because we now understand that you care and you want to talk with us. And I pray that today is a day that we would truly be set free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm always fascinated by how technology changes the way we do ministry. And earlier this week, Jamie Davis, you know, Jamie's our production manager and director, czar. I'm not sure what the exact title is, but Jamie came to me and said, "Sean, I think you need to do Facebook Live." And I'm like, "Okay, so tell me about that, Jamie. I don't even know what to do." He says, "Well, what you do is you kind of talk about your personal life," is what it sounded like. And he says, "You talk about your sermon, you talk about, you know, talk about what God's saying to you, all those things." And he said, "I think you should do it." I said, "Well, that's great, Jamie. When do I want to do it?" And he holds the phone to my face and says, 3, 2, 1, go. I was like, "What the? One, go. Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah." Okay, so for the next, the sad thing is I can talk about nothing for 3 minutes solid. But I'd just been thinking a lot about prayer. And so for the next 3 minutes, I just kind of shared my heart about prayer and done. Jamie said, "Thanks." I mean, there was really no prep for this at all. High tech, as you can see. And he said, "Let's see what happens." So today I looked at it just to see if anyone had turned on it. There were like 1,700 views. And, it's a clap, but there's like 500,000 for the cat who hacked up a furball, so don't even, you know, I mean, that doesn't impress me whatsoever. And I thought, I just wonder how I get 1,700 people to come to church. And then, what's that? They were all my mom? That could be true, actually, except my mom doesn't know how to use Facebook. So, I think it's because it was a 3-minute sermon. I think that's really what does it. I mean, you want 1,700 people to come to church, preach for 3 minutes. That's not going to happen right now. But I think the thing that did excite me, it wasn't the number of people. It was a couple comments. One in particular is the lady who used to go to this church many years ago. Her name is Rosie Hyam. Rosie had a stroke a few years ago. She lives in Montana. And sometimes her husband's a trucker and sometimes isolated. And she said on Facebook, she said, "It just felt so good to have you pray for me." Because at the end of this video, I hadn't prayed, and Jamie says, "Pray." I'm like, "Okay, Lord," you know, and she said, "It was just so good to have you pray for me." And then I was seeing someone in the hospital, a couple whose dad was dying, and he did pass away the next day, and the wife was in the hospital, and she was just didn't know what to do, and so she was scrolling Facebook, and she sees this and clicks on it, and she says, I saw them later. And she said, "You know, I just was feeling very alone, and I can't tell you how much that encouraged me to have you pray for me." Now, that just struck me in a way that kind of undid me, in a good way, because the fact that God takes our prayers, even when they're spoken to a phone, and uses them to impact lives. And it just made me think, what is it about prayer that does that? Because I look at a lot of things on Facebook, and I can tell you they don't necessarily change my life. You know, the cat hacking up the fur ball just doesn't do that for me. You know, but for some reason, there is power in prayer, and I do believe that. And so it just made me think about that, and you know. Why do we even pray, and why is it that prayer touches us so much? And I guess here's my conclusion, is that I think that it's not because I prayed. I think it's because we all want to have an intimate time with God, where he hears us and we believe he's listening. But the truth is that the reason we don't pray is because I think many of us aren't sure if he does listen. or he does care. And if you ever had any doubts of that, that if, whether God values our prayers or even wants to hear our prayers, I think you just have to look at Jesus. Because here's the thing, Jesus is God in the flesh. And so when he speaks, I want to know what he's saying and what he values and what's important to him. And so the neat thing about Jesus is that he tells a lot of stories. And I think because people remember stories. And I want to read to you two stories that Jesus told back to back about prayer. Because I think it shares and shows us the heart of God. And I think it my hope is, and this is what I was thinking about this all week. I've been thinking about this for you. My hope is that as a result of this time, that it would drive you to not give up in prayer. Or not give up on prayer. Or maybe start to pray. Because this is how this story goes. It says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Okay, now let me just stop right there, because that could be the whole message this morning, okay? Jesus tells a story, and his whole reason for telling the story is because he wants us to always pray and not give up. So what does that tell you about the heart of God? First, that tells me that God wants a conversation with us. That's what prayer is. It's a conversation with God. Some of you get caught up thinking you have to have a certain form or you have to say it a certain way. I know Leslie was very nervous about praying for the offering. That was a beautiful prayer. Because why? Because it just came out of her heart and her life experience. And I was so grateful for that. And I think that this is what Jesus values. Always pray. Always. I want to talk to you all the time. And don't give up. In other words, you know, he's saying, no, if you think your prayers aren't being heard, let me just tell you, don't give up. Now, then he tells this story. And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because you think, why would Jesus tell this story? And this is what he says. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Great start. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they will get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, this is Jesus' best shot of telling us why we should pray. And you're thinking, really? Really? This is the story you tell? Because this is a story about an obnoxious woman who just keeps pounding away at this judge. And what do we know about this judge? He doesn't really care. That's the thing. Now, before you think that must be what God's like, right? It's not, by the way. God is not like the judge who doesn't care. So let's start off that right off the bat. But see, here's the thing. And someone had this to say once. They said, the answer to the dilemma of prayer is that it's not intended to do something for God, but for us. It is one of the mechanisms of relationship that God gives to his children to be in touch with him. God may not need prayer, but we do. By the way, you know, I started making full outlines again. I had a lot of people say, how come we don't get a full outline anymore? And those are on the Welcome Center if you want that. I don't know if you take notes, you just catch the short version on Facebook. But anyway, that's on the Welcome Center, but there's some questions in what I handed out to you today. Okay, oh, see, someone, thank you, Francie. I like Francie. So here's the thing, is that what is it saying? It's that God responds and listens to his children, and he's not an uninterested spectator. And these are two of the most unlikely characters to show us what prayer is about that I think I've ever read. I mean, if I were to tell a story to encourage you to pray, this is not the story I would tell. But God in his wisdom knows exactly who we are, and he kind of gets past all the garbage. I was trying to think of another word because I didn't want to. Yeah, right. Okay. So let's take a look at these two characters. First, you got the nagging widow, right? And that's really what she's known for. She is unapologetically persistent. She's no need to whine, right? She has no money, but she knows she has rights. And she wants justice. That's what she wants. She doesn't want necessarily, it doesn't say she wants money. It doesn't say that she wants, you know, a new house. She just wants to see justice. It's a pretty pure prayer, right? And so she just shares with God her true feelings, or the judge, I guess, in this case. She shares her true feelings, and she's probably one of the most vulnerable people in her society, right? Because she just is someone who doesn't have a lot of power. But yet she's important. She's important enough to be mentioned by God in this story. And in some ways, it's similar to the risk believers experience in a hostile world, right, when they reach out to God. And now we see this independent judge, and naturally we think, oh, this must be God. But here, this judge doesn't care. He's indifferent. He sees no reason to help. And the only thing we know about him, we don't even know his name, right? We don't know the names of any of these people. It's just he's bothered and he's worn out. Because every day he goes to court and this woman just shows up day after day and she just keeps asking and bothering him and just keeps at it and at it and at it. So finally, what does he do? He just gives her what she wants so she will get off his back. Do not compare this to marriage. Okay, just so you know. Okay, so this is not the point here, right? Here's the thing. So now you hear this story and say, okay, why would Jesus even tell this story? What do we learn about God from this story? And here's the thing I want you to see is that here it says in this passage, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? In other words, God responds to the prayers and he listens to his children. He's not grudging about granting our desires for justice. He's not, okay, look, you just keep bugging me. I'll give you what you want. It's not that way. Because he urges our prayers and our perseverance. He's not an uninterested spectator, but he relates to his creation. And when God acts, his response is quick and it's certain. Now here's the thing. We want to be persistent. We don't want to be presumptuous. In other words, just think, if I just bother God enough, he'll give me whatever I want. I think that's sometimes we think, you know, oh, okay, well, then I can do that. But God, he encouraged us to pray for God's righteous ways to be revealed. So here's the thing. If an unrighteous judge responds this way, how much more will a righteous and loving God answer the prayers of his precious children? See, God will vindicate his children. And he just says, just keep asking. And so here's the thing. What does God want of us? What does this story tell us about prayer? Here's what God says. He says, I want you to be like the widow. I want you to keep coming to me again and again. I want you to be persistent in prayer. Because he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, what's faith? Well, faith is when we trust God to do, which doesn't seem to be happening, when we trust God to continue to hear and to answer, even when we don't see the results immediately and we don't give up. See, that's a pretty big statement about prayer, isn't it? Because from Jesus' perspective, faith is not necessarily always getting your way, but not giving up, trusting in God to see you through that hard time. And so I love this story because God's saying, look, you know what? I want you to be just like that nagging widow. Really? Yeah. I want you to persevere. I want you to be persistent. I want you to be at this day and day again and again and again. And why is that? Because I think because the more we pray, the more it matters to us. We pray about what matters most. Right? How many of you pray for your children, for example? Yeah. I know I'm here because I have a praying mother, to be really honest. You know, I'm pretty convinced of that, okay? And the thing is that we pray about what matters most to us. And I guess that's the thing that's been on my heart. I think that there are a lot of things we give up praying about because we think God has forgotten or he doesn't listen or he doesn't care. Well, this story is quite to the contrary, isn't it? And you say, well, God, well, why don't you just, you know, answer? Well, it says God answers quickly. Now, maybe God's decision of quickly isn't your decision of quickly. But here we see that God does bring about justice. God does make things right. God does hear our prayers. We matter to God. This widow who may not have mattered much to anybody, right? She didn't have power, she didn't have money, she didn't have a lot of things, right? But she knew how to keep at it. She knew how to not give up. Jesus says, be just like her. Isn't that interesting? Now, right from that story, he goes on to a second story. Bam, right? And the next story is even more, it just doesn't make sense, right? Because he tells a story about a religious person and a tax collector. That's like saying he tells a story about a pastor and a hooker. Okay, it's that type of thing. Like last time I said hooker in the church, a lot of people didn't like that, I was told. Yeah, so anyway. But see, tax collectors weren't valued in that time. And they were. They were thought as just not acceptable people. So Jesus tells a story about someone who is very acceptable, and he's the bad guy in the story, by the way. Right? The religious person is the bad guy in the story. But the tax collector, the unwanted, the shamed, that's the person Jesus values. And this is the story he tells. He says it this way: to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everybody else. Isn't that an interesting way to start that story? To some who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, that's the religious person, and the other a tax collector, that's the not-so-good person. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. By the way, in your outline, it was interesting. I had used another version of the Bible, and it says the Pharisee stood by himself. But when I was reading my own Bible, which is good to do from time to time, it says he stood up and prayed about himself. I thought that was kind of interesting. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Okay? So what do we know about this guy? This guy is a pompous jerk. Okay? This Pharisee is trusting his own abilities rather than trusting God. He's regarding others with contempt and disrespect rather than seeing them as created equal in the image of God. In other words, he doesn't see others as having any value. It's just about him. And he's confident in his own righteousness, you know. In other words, he's sure he's a blessing to God. It starts off like a praise to God, but it's really one man's celebration of what he has done for God. In other words, his trust is in himself. His prayer is really, God, I thank you that I am so marvelous. That's really what that prayer is, right? God, it's just good to be me. Thank you. You know, I mean, whatever. God needs to do nothing for him. He makes no request. He offers no honor to God. But now we see such a contrast. But then it says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, the tax collector knew that he was approaching the holy God, a great and awesome Savior. And he just knew he wasn't worthy. And see, that didn't really matter to God. But this man recognized, he's usually hated in that society, but here he's honored. And why is that? Well, he was timid, almost cautionary. He was contrite. He was humble. You see, humility exalted virtue, I think. And he was aware of his humble position before God. I wonder if we think of ourselves in that way. He knew he was a sinner in need of mercy, and that was the only way to God, was his mercy. He was a product of God's grace. And see, I think the thing is that here's a difference in the concept of God here, right? The Pharisee, God is just someone to just kind of do a token little prayer for to make you feel better about yourself. You ever prayed that kind of prayer? I think I have, if I'm really honest. I don't think God really values that, to be honest. And yet then on the other hand, you see this tax collector, and all of a sudden he's just like, man, so aware of his shortcomings. And in that moment of owning his own sin, in that moment of recognizing that he needed God, all of a sudden now there's this great closeness that is created with God. And God says that this man left justified. By the way, one of my favorite definitions of being justified before God is just as if I never sinned. And so this man was justified before God. Now, what does that tell you about prayer, these two stories? I mean, why would Jesus even tell these two stories back to back? Because he wants us to be persistent. He wants us to come to him. He cares for us. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to come and recognize our need for him, and he wants to meet us in that place of brokenness and hurt and lift us up to a new place of his presence and his glory and his honor and his love. I think that's what happens when we pray. And so I put in your outline, how would you describe the Pharisee's concept of God and himself? Or what about the tax collector's view? Or what do you think your prayers might reveal about your concept of God and yourself? And here's the thing. Jesus says, I want you to be like the widow. I want you to be like the tax collector. These are not examples that I would think that anyone would use for prayer. And yet this is what God values. And so this is the part that's been bothering me all week. I think, how many of us just kind of give our token prayers, and I don't mean that to judge, well, I guess it was, we just give our prayers to God just because we're supposed to, right? Now, even a quick prayer I think is good, by the way, because it's a pause, but at the same time, I think that I wonder, when have I come before God and just owned my own stuff? When have I come before God and said, God, okay, you know what? I am a selfish son of a gun. When have I come before God and said, you know, God, I did screw that up, and I'm so sorry. Show me how to make it right. When do I come before God and say, God, I want to be a better husband, or some of you, a better wife, or a better parent, or a better son or daughter, right? And I wonder how many of us have given up on the prayers that really matter to us. Does that make sense? Because I think that and someone said this to me. She said, someone prayed for me the other day, and they asked me, they said, do you have any dreams that have never materialized, that have been unfulfilled? And she said that caught me because I've given up on my dreams. And I guess that's what I want to ask you is, do you have any unfulfilled dreams that have never materialized? Or do you have hurts that have never been healed? Or do you have friends that don't know Jesus or wrestling? What have you yet to see God do? What's your desire? What's your passion? What's your pain? Because here's what Jesus says. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. Like that movie, Never Give Up, Never Surrender. I guess you have to know that. But thank you, my friend. there's a time when God says, come to me humbly and persistently and expectantly. So yesterday, it's interesting. My wife is gone for the weekend with my mother-in-law for a shower in Southern California. And so I thought I had a lot of time on my hands, but I didn't. Because some people found out that I was just on my own. Oh, come on, I need to talk about this or this. And then and it's interesting the conversations I've had in good ways. You know, so in the morning, that couple that I talked about at the hospital, the dad did die. And I got to meet with this whole family, this wonderful woman who had been married to her husband for 65 years. He was 93. And the kids and grandkids were all there. And she just, she was okay, believe it or not. She just needed someone to pray, and she just needed to be with her family. And so everyone's sharing, and there's tears, and she's talking about just before he dies, they always used to have this thing where they hold hands and they squeeze three times, "I love you." And about an hour before he died, one last time, he squeezed her hand three times. I just about lost it right there, right? I was like, I was a mess. And she's telling me this, and she's just glowingly sharing this. And so I'm kind of doing my pastor thing, and then she showed me how to be a pastor. She said, I thought maybe we could end with this prayer she had written down and been praying for I don't know how long. And it was the most sweet prayer, because she knew that her strength was going to be found in Jesus Christ, even in this most difficult time in her entire life. Right. And then later on, I meet with another couple. And this woman had been at a prayer gathering, and someone had asked her about her dreams. And she started dreaming again. And she asked me, she said, "I'd like to start a ministry, but I wanted to ask you for permission," which was actually kind of nice. I was like, "God put this on your heart, and you want my permission. Wow, okay." And we just talked about it, and I felt like maybe there's some things that we talked about that helped her refine that. But all she really wanted to do was honor Jesus. And all she really wanted was someone to pray with her, to give her clarity and courage. And it just kind of rocked my day in a good way. And I started realizing that how many of us have stopped praying for those dreams? How many of us have stopped praying for release from that hurt? How many of us have stopped praying for that wounded part of us that we think will never be whole? Or fears because of something that happened to us that we're just afraid to let go? How many of us have stopped praying? And so I just decided that today is a day that I would like us to pray. And this is how I want to do it. I think a lot about this too, is leaders, would you stand up if you feel, those of you who are comfortable for praying for others, elders, staff,